Hello and welcome to I'll Bring the Bible with Mel and
Monica.
We're happy that you're here. We're happy that you came back this month.
So happy. So happy.
We love you guys, and we've been loving this time of sharing with you on this podcast. And today we have a special guest with us, and her name is Fonda. Welcome, Fonda.
Thank you so much.
Welcome, Fonda.
Excited to meet you, ladies.
And we're going to be talking to her and getting to know her a little bit better. But right now we're talking about what was your favorite part of 2020? Now, that's a loaded question.
It's a very loaded question.
So, Fonda, can you want to start us off? What's been your favorite part of 2020 so far?
Absolutely. And I love that question because, I mean, there's been so much negativity this year. And so I think taking a step back, thinking about the silver lining is healthy. And so I would say for me, it's been kind of embracing the slowdown. I know pre-COVID, oh my goodness, I had something probably every night of the week. I was insanely busy, as I'm sure you ladies can relate to, just so much hustle and bustle. Mm-hmm. And when businesses started closing down and we are, you know, forced to shelter in place, obviously it was a challenging time for all of us, but it really forced me to stay in the moment, you know, with my kids, with my husband, and just kind of embrace that slower pace. And I know now things are picking back up, you know, our son's going back to school, but I'm trying to cling on to as much of that slow pace as possible because it's been refreshing for me. And I didn't realize, honestly, how badly I needed that. So it's been a gift this year.
Awesome. Yeah, I can relate to that, the slow pace. I kind of hated it in the beginning, and then I got used to it. And now as the pace has gotten faster and faster and faster since things have been starting back up, mm-hmm. I'm hating it being so fast mm-hmm. again.
Exactly.
So,
well, for me, initially, it was a little heartbreaking because my family all had, the five of us, my three sons and my husband and myself, all five of us had international mission trips that we were supposed mm-hmm. to take part of, and in three different countries. Mm. And that was very disappointing initially. But taking a step back and actually seeing the time that we had together, the time that God has taught me a lot about myself, and then we had a really sweet trip to the Smoky Mountains this year. Mm-hmm. And it was a nice time to just reflect who God is and who we are together as a family. And even though my older sons didn't get to go, it was still, it was kind of like the silver lining in the midst of what we thought was just such a disappointment, that we knew that God had these mission trips planned for us, but he just doesn't have them planned right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I missed out on one too, and it was really disappointing. Mm-hmm. But oh, well, here we are. We're alive. My favorite part of 2020 was actually our trip to Florida. And that was right before things, the cases started to increase in Florida. Yeah. We already had bought cheap tickets to go and visit my sister. And I hadn't seen her in 4 years. And wow. I hadn't met two of my nieces and nephews. So we got to meet them. And we all stayed together. There was 10 of us in a 1,200 square foot house.
Wow.
But
that's amazing.
The thing mm-hmm. is that it was so sweet.
Yeah.
We didn't get mad at each other. It wasn't bothersome. We just had a great time reacquainting ourselves with each other and going to the beach all the time and swimming, and had a really great time. So that has been the highlight of 2020, except for becoming better friends with Monica.
Oh,
I love it. Love it.
Right, right. You know, I think one thing that we all brought out was that, you know, we were so busy and that we have these big ideas of how the way things are going to go. And I think in this culture now, it's like bigger is better, mm-hmm. you know, bigger trips, bigger locations, bigger service projects, bigger ministries seems to be the better way to go. But I think God has shown us that it's the simple moments mm-hmm. that we have that we need to stop and be grateful for and just really bask in.
One of the things I've been able to do during this time is read a couple of books, which I never get to do. And I've been reading a couple books about some faithful women. And one of those faithful women is Amy Carmichael. Have you ever
yes.
heard of her? Missionary. Mm-hmm. And Elizabeth Elliot wrote this awesome autobiography. And as Monica and I were talking, we were talking about what our next month's podcast is going to be. And we came up with this theme of faithful women. And we thought, oh, who are we going to interview? Monica said, Fonda. And I was like, yes, that's who my heart wanted, too. So obviously the Holy Spirit was speaking to us. Mm-hmm. And so we welcome you, Fonda, into this space, and we're excited to have you.
Thanks so much.
So we actually know Fonda from church. And we heard her share a testimony at a Zoom meeting called Draw Near. And it was focusing on faith over fear. And since we've been discussing faithful women and we were just moved by your testimony, we thought, Vonda's our girl. I hope that she is willing to share with us. So, Vonda, would you be willing to share some of your story with us today?
Absolutely. And I'll make it the Cliff Notes version. But so this story always gets me emotional because it truly is a testament to God's faithfulness and his goodness. And so really the story for me started April 8th of 2017. I remember waking up in the middle of the night just with the most insanely painful cramping I've ever experienced in my life. And a couple days leading up to it, I had some cramps, but didn't think too much of it. But it was really intensifying. And so got up in the middle of the night, woke my husband up and said, I'm in a lot of pain. I need to go to the ER. And so bless his heart, at 3 or 4 in the morning, he got up and drove me to the ER. And they did a series of tests. So, you know, CT scans, MRIs, everything came back negative. They gave me some pain medication and sent me on my merry way. But I got home and I was still just dealing with a lot of pain and it actually got worse. And so I went back to the ER the following day, same cycle. So CT scans, MRIs, negative tests, and they sent me home with more pain medication.
So are we talking about like birth pain or kidney stone pain type on a scale of pain?
It was worse than labor. It was worse than labor, and there was no breaks. I mean, there was no relief, and that's what made it really, really challenging. I mean, I would sit and clench my fists, trying not to scream because it was just horrendous.
Wow.
And so I continued that process, I kid you not, over almost 2 months. And during that time, I visited 3 different hospitals, 8 different ER visits, and I kept hearing the same story, man, we don't know what's wrong with you. You know, I was a medical mystery for a while, which is a very, very scary place to be if you've never experienced that.
And you live in a city that has pretty advanced hospitals.
Very much so. Yeah, 3 different hospital systems and medical mystery. I mean, all the tests kept coming back negative. In the beginning, we were praying for a negative test. And toward the end, we were praying for a positive test because we just wanted to know what in the world is going on.
Were you still working at this time?
I was.
In constant pain.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. And I was able to take some sick days, fortunately. But yeah, just trying to live as much of a normal life as possible in the midst of the pain.
And how old was your son at the time?
He was 4 years old. Right. And so it was very hard for him to watch mommy just deteriorating. And I say that because, you know, I lost probably 25 pounds. I was almost in the double digits when it was all said and done. Was on the verge of kidney failure, constant nausea, vomiting, could not keep food down. I mean, it was horrible. Knee joints were just in constant pain. And it got to the point where I remember just praying, God, I'm ready to go home. Mm-hmm. I don't want to deal with the pain anymore. Mm. And so I was praying to die. And, of course, my husband's sitting there next to me saying, God, she's delusional. Do not listen to her. Unfortunately, God doesn't answer all of our prayers.
Right.
But we started looking at my will, my life insurance, because me and my husband looked at me and I truly was skin and bones. And we thought it was the end of the line. You know, we weren't sure when I was going to take my last breath. And the whole while we were just praying, and I just praised God for our network of prayer warriors from our church, New Life, and just my coworkers and so many people who were just bathing us in prayer. And we kept the faith. And one of the big prayers we had was for a breakthrough and that God would provide the doctors with wisdom. And God is so good and so faithful. So my breakthrough came in late May of 2017, and it was actually a resident in one of the hospitals who asked, hey, have we ever tested her for porphyria? And the doctors were humble enough to listen, and they tested me for porphyria, and the test came back positive. I was never so excited for a positive test.
Now, this is interesting. What made him come up with that? Was it a previous experience, or had he been researching your case?
You know, and that's one of the things I never got a chance to talk to him about. I don't know if it was something he just uncovered while he was in medical school, but whatever it was, I know that God's hand was in that.
Right.
Because it's such a rare disease. It's a very rare genetic blood disease. Most people don't have it on their radar. That was God.
Wow.
I have no doubt that was God.
Right.
And so after I received that diagnosis, they gave me panhematin treatments, which is a black liquid that they put in via IV. And 5 days later, I was released to continue my recovery at home pain-free. Wow. And God is so good. I have no doubt if it weren't for his intervention and his hand mm-hmm. in the midst of all that, I would not be sitting here today.
So what does the disease exactly do to your body?
So, you know, it's interesting. So most people have a multi-step process, you know, right. to produce heme, which is important because it allows oxygen to circulate to your organs. Right. People with porphyria don't necessarily have that. And so a lot of them are susceptible to a porphyria attack, which is mm-hmm. essentially what I experienced mm-hmm. over those 2 months. It was an attack on my body. And what I didn't realize was a lot of the pain medication they're giving me actually exacerbates it. Yeah, it's a trigger. You know, stress can be a trigger, fasting, sleep deprivation. So pretty much my whole life before I got sick, all of those were triggers, and it leads to a lot of the symptoms I experienced. Right. And so the treatment they gave me actually provides heme mm-hmm. to make up for the heme that my body can't produce naturally. Very rare disease. I mean, less than, I think, 200,000 people in the United States have
it. Now, is that something mm-hmm. that you have to have a maintenance infusion of or every once in a while?
So every once in a while, I do feel some flare-ups. Mm-hmm. You know, actually, I was in the hospital this past December and January. Mm-hmm. I caught the flu, even after getting the flu shot, and it was a trigger. And I was back in the hospital mm-hmm. for 5 days getting more panhematin. But for the most part, I can manage it as long as I manage my stress and, you know, caffeine. I can't drink caffeine. So it's been a little bit of a lifestyle change, but praise be to God, I'm generally pain-free, and it's all because of God's grace.
I would say that this pandemic has actually meant a little something more to you.
Absolutely, because I don't know how my body would respond
right.
to getting sick, so I've had to be extra, extra careful.
Right.
Wow. That is an incredible story of God's grace.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to say, God taught me so much during that time, and I could probably talk for hours about it, but the big thing he taught me was, you know, he's not going to always take away the trials from our lives. You know, I think right. back to Daniel 3 with the three Hebrew boys who were placed right. in that fiery furnace, mm-hmm. and King Nebuchadnezzar looks in and says, hey, there's a fourth person in the fire, and it looks like the Son of God. And I always had that visual in my head because I felt like I was going through the fire,
right. mm-hmm.
and God was with me every step of the way. And he reminded me, you know what? I am sovereign. I'm still on the throne. Mm-hmm. You know, this disease didn't mm-hmm. catch me off guard. And there's a quote that really encouraged me when I was going in and out of hospitals. Mm-hmm. And it was, when you're going through hard times in life, God's sovereignty is the pillow
right.
on which you can lay your head.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm just so grateful because I always had this visual of just me resting my head on Jesus's lap and him stroking my hair and saying, I know what pain feels like. I've been to the mm-hmm. cross. I know what you're going mm-hmm. through, and I'm with you. And I'm just so grateful that he's a big God, and he taught me to pray big, big prayers. My husband fasted when I was in the hospital, mm-hmm. and it was shortly after he began fasting that we had my breakthrough. Mm-hmm. You know, our church, my parents were praying for me. I remember they came up to visit me from South Carolina, and we were all in my room with my husband mm-hmm. and my parents, and we were just blasting worship music and praying and praising, and that was the sweetest worship service I've ever experienced in the midst of my pain. God wants us to pray. You know, mm-hmm. the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous mm-hmm. avail much. You know, it's James 5:16. And I'm just so grateful that God reminded me of all that. And he's a big God. And let me tell you something. So my favorite part of my ordeal happened actually after, you know, I started my recovery at home. So before I got sick, my husband and I, you know, we had our 4-year-old son, Uriah, and we wanted to expand our family. And things were happening, you know, according to our timeline. I got sick, and so I decided to just, you know, let it go. I was just grateful to be alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then a couple months later, we found out we were expecting, you know, our little girl. And I remember going to the doctor and they said, so her due date's April 8th. And it didn't sink in until later on, but April 8th, 2017 is the day I got sick. So a year after that will be our daughter's due date. Now,
wow.
don't tell me God wow. was not in that. He is the owner of time. And for me, it's like, he didn't even have to do that. He didn't have to save my life, but he did.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. to do what he did, it's giving me that April 8th, just that special memory. Mm-hmm. I mean, that just goes to show how sweet of a father he is. He is a good, good father.
Right.
And I'm
yeah.
just so grateful for that.
He always goes that extra mile.
Absolutely.
That one step that it's not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessary
mm-hmm.
at all that she would be born on that day.
Right.
That the fact that you just had a baby would have been enough,
exactly.
right?
Right.
But
absolutely.
The fact that he cares about those little details yes. is incredible.
Yes. And gives you the insight to
yes.
to notice it.
Yeah, it hit me when I was sitting in Awana one Wednesday mm-hmm. night, and it was a couple months after I learned the due date, and I'm sure he was thinking, man, it took a few minutes for me to land. But God is just so great. I'm so grateful that he's in the details, and he truly mm-hmm. is the master coordinator. I love him so much.
Well,
so,
and I think, well, one of the things that I've been reading about and praying about is just really, you know, we hear a lot about why does God allow us to suffer. Mm-hmm. But as believers, we are in Christ and He is in us. It's mm-hmm. part of our unity with Him. And we are united with a suffering
yes.
Savior.
Yes.
Jesus' life and ministry was a life of suffering.
Amen.
And He suffered on our behalf.
Yes.
And so Him being in us and us in Him, mm-hmm. that suffering helps us to identify.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Identify with our Savior. So we don't always recognize it as the gift it is.
Amen. Amen.
And I think now more than ever,
yes,
we need to recognize that it's a gift.
Yes, it truly is.
Yeah.
So we're talking about faithful women this month. Do you have a favorite faithful woman from the Bible that you...
So, you know, I love Deborah. I love JL. You know, I'm a huge fan of Esther. You know, I grew up just reading about all of them and just their unwavering commitment and faith toward God. And especially at that time, I'm sure it's very intimidating and daunting. So they're such an encouragement, you know, but I would have to say too, you know, every time I see the words faithful woman, my mom comes to mind. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we call her Mama Smalls, right? And there's a song I listened to growing up, an old gospel song that said, you know, I thank God for Mama. She taught me how to pray. I thank God for Mama. She taught me the right way. And I'm so grateful for my mom because from the time I was young, I just remember her kneeling down next to our bedside and teaching us the Our Father prayer, teaching us scripture, teaching us the word, teaching us the plan of salvation. Mm-hmm. And in my dad too, and just that rock solid foundation that she provided for me was powerful. And I even remember just growing up, you know, she had her share of trials, as we all do.
Mm-hmm.
And just rock solid, unwavering faith. My dad was in the Army, and sometimes he was stationed overseas or in other parts of the U.S., and my mom was holding down the fort with four girls. And as a mom now, I can only imagine how challenging that was for her. And yet she didn't break a sweat. She was clinging to the Lord, and just her intimacy with the Lord was evident. And even now, rock solid faith after walking with the Lord for decades. And so I feel like I've been very blessed and privileged because I have a front row seat of observing this woman who really epitomizes for me what it means to be a humble and a faithful servant of the King and just wonderful teacher of the word and such an inspiration.
Well, that was one of the things that really stood out to me just as you were sharing your story was when you said that your parents were praying for you and your husband was praying for you in that time and praising the Lord and crying out to Him. And I thought, our children don't stop being our children
Absolutely.
When they're adults.
Mm-hmm.
So the pain that your parents had to be going through
exactly.
to see you going through those hard times. And they could have done all number of things, but surrounding you with praise and prayer.
Mm. What an example.
Not everybody has that. And so that is... It's incredible that your family did that. And what you were saying about your mom encourages my heart, too, because I'm not really, or at least I don't see myself as really a fun mom. Someone who is doing all the Pinterest stuff or I'm not even a mom who likes to get down on the ground and play with blocks. It really takes me a lot of effort.
Yeah.
This whole pandemic, I've been concentrating on what can I do as a mom? And the one thing that God has just been reminding me is read the Bible to your kids, pray with your kids, and that is going to be the thing that sticks out and matters.
Absolutely.
And hearing you say that about your mom encourages me that even though I fail in some areas, at least bringing the word and praying with my kids is
never,
something that's not in vain.
Yes.
It's going to count.
It's never a waste of time.
It's right.
So worth it. I'm so grateful for that. I really am.
So here at I'll Bring the Bible, we focus a lot on studying the Bible.
Obviously.
Yes.
Shocking. Do you have a favorite study tip that would be helpful?
Absolutely. So I would say for me, find a time that works best for you. So my husband gets up every morning and studies the word before he goes to work. And for me, my best quiet time is at night. So after little Lisey, you know, who's 2.5, goes to bed and I kind of get that time to myself. Sometimes I'll be in the bath and just studying the word. Mm-hmm. And I'm not in a hurry. Kind of the day's, you know, craziness has already subsided. And it's just me and Jesus just enjoying that time with each other and me soaking up his presence. So I would say find a time that works best for you, because it's going to be different for every person. Right. And then I would also say it's quality, right? It's not quantity. You know, I liken it to having a date with my husband. If I'm just trying to check a box and just get it over with, that's going to be hurtful for him. And I think so oftentimes we treat Jesus the same way.
I agree.
You know, when we're spending time with the word, let's enjoy his presence. I mean, let's soak up his word like we're reading a love letter. We're not going to rush through a love letter. We're going to savor every word and really enjoy that quality. I think that goes a long way, and that makes his heart smile. So those would be my tips.
I like that. That's really good. That tip. A couple of podcasts ago, we talked about our favorite verses and what verse we carry through us throughout our lives. Mine was in Ephesians 6, putting on the whole armor of God. Mm-hmm. So every day I try to remind myself to put on that armor and be worshipful to God in that way. What was yours, Monica?
Mine was Philippians 4:4 through 7, just about rejoicing in the Lord always, giving him our anxieties, and letting the peace of God transcend all understanding.
Amen. Vonda, what about you?
For me, the one verse that really keeps me grounded is Matthew 6:33. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And for me, that's really important, because for so many years, and even now I struggle with it, it's so easy to get caught up in the hustle and bustle of daily life. And a wise woman once told me, are you focused on God's kingdom or Vonda's kingdom? And for me, that really resonated with me. It's not about my kingdom. Mm-hmm. You know, it is about God's kingdom. But it really is about focusing on the Lord and what matters in light of eternity. And so that verse keeps me rooted and focused on what truly matters. And so I'm grateful for that piece of scripture.
Yes, that's a good one.
Yeah.
So thank you for coming.
Absolutely.
And we are going to close this up. So what are we going to talk about?
I don't know. What do you want to talk about? I think that we should talk about, let's impart some wisdom to our 21-year-old selves.
Yes.
I would tell my 21-year-old self to stay away from the tanning bed and to wear sunscreen every day.
Oh, yes. That's a great tip. I would tell my 21-year-old self, of course, I was married by the end of 21, but go on a trip by yourself. Enjoy the time. Relax before the stress of life comes.
Yes.
And I mean, that's what I would tell my 21-year-old self. How about you?
I will say, don't sweat the small stuff and sleep. Sleep is your friend.
Sleep
is
your
goodness.
Friend.
Now I love a good nap. I love it.
Why didn't I nap more?
I know, right? Such missed opportunities.
Right. I thought I was so busy.
Exactly. Me too.
I was busy. I was busy taking care of myself.
I wasn't. I was busy going to the tanning bed and trying to make this pale face a little bit brighter.
It is a beautiful face.
It didn't work.
It is beautiful.
Okay, well, that was good. That was fun and lighthearted enough, don't you think?
Right.
Okay. So thanks again, Vonda, for coming. Wow, what a blessing to our hearts your testimony is. And thank you for sharing it with us and with the many people that will hear this. I know everybody will be blessed. So, well,
thank you, ladies.
And I would like just to take a moment to tell all the mothers out there that are listening, take some encouragement from Vonda's mom.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yes. That your prayers for your kids and reading them the Bible, even if you're having to chase them around, or even if they're older and they don't seem like they're listening.
Yes, they are.
It will pay dividends.
They are. Powerful stuff.
Okay, so that was like our third final thought. And
do we have another? I have lots of thoughts.
I know. I have one. Don't take it from us. Read it for yourself in the Word.
Amen.
And we will see you next time on I'll Bring the Bible with Mel and Monica.
Bye.
Bye.